Jasmine. Cool. You're probably thinking, yay, he's finally going Old Testament. How about we pray? Yeah, thank you, Jesus, Lord. I just pray that you would have your way here this morning, Lord, that it wouldn't be about me or about us, but Lord, that you would be the center of everything we do here. Lord, we help us to just get over ourselves and help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to fix our eyes on you. And I just pray you would give me the words to speak this morning, or that it wouldn't be of myself. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So I'd like to think about this, right? Who remembers being a kid? I mean, I know Carol always, like, she's like, oh, where are the dinosaurs around here? But, like, you know, everyone remembers being a kid, right? And, like, when I was a kid, like, my dad, we used to go out on camping trips. I mean, I'm sure, has everyone been on a camping trip? I mean, maybe it's a bit embarrassing to be like, I've never been on a camping trip. but we used to go on camping trips. And I remember this one place in Western Australia. It's called Hovia Falls. It's a beautiful place, beautiful waterfall. And as a kid, when our dad takes us there, man, we're so excited. We're like, oh my gosh, a waterfall. It's amazing. It's like gushing water. Like, oh, let's go climb it. Let's explore it. And then, you know, you're just so excited as a kid. And it's just like, you're just like, wow, a waterfall. Like, things are so amazing, right? Right? And then as I get older, I mean, it's like we actually did a trip to Perth some time ago, like maybe 3 years ago, and we went to Hovia Falls, and I was like, oh, this is so nice. Oh, yeah, this is so nice. Oh, wait, just let me get a photo of this. Let's get a photo of me with the waterfall in the background. And, so here's the thing, right? We get really wrapped up in ourselves sometimes. And I also had this experience at Mount Kosciuszko, right? Ask Cheng Wei, we went together. But I was just so into it. I was like, just taking like photos. Oh, this is amazing. Oh, wow. And I think it was him who had to say, hey, just put your phone away. Just enjoy the scenery. Like, just marvel. But it's just amazing. Like, when you're at Kosciuszko, like, you sit on top of the mountains, and it's just, it's breathtaking. Like, you look out there, and it's just like, you feel small. Like, created God made all this stuff. And we want to take a photo of ourselves, like, with the mountains, like, just enjoy, like, just marvel at the creation of God. So that was my experience at Kosciuszko. It was quite funny because, yeah, Wei was like, put your phone away, and I did. But here's the thing, we can get wrapped up in ourselves, and we can actually become so self-focused that we actually spend so much time trying to develop ourselves. I mean, I scroll through Facebook every now and then, and like, it's so frustrating. Like, when I scroll through, there's like all these self-help guides. Like it knows what I'm like, is it trying to market it towards me or something? I don't know, but it's like, this is how you help yourself. But what about the things about this is how you help others, hey? That'd be cool. But often we can become about ourselves, and when we're all about ourselves, we can lose our meaning and purpose. We lose our meaning and purpose when we become all about me. And I'm here this morning to remind us and challenge us to rise above that and to actually fix our eyes on Christ. And we've heard this from Richard before. We've got to move from starts two M's. Maintenance. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Maintenance to mission. So let me describe what I think maintenance looks like. Okay. Maintenance is internally focused. It's focused on me, on us, getting ourselves right, keeping ourselves together. Have you ever seen the show Survivor? Yeah. And have you ever watched... Okay, so for those of you who don't know about Survivor, it's this TV show, and they have all these competitors that come. There used to be an Australian one, and they used to have to do specific tasks to stay in the show. And they could win things like immunity, like so they can't get voted out. So it comes down to a tribal council meeting when they're all around the campfire. And it's really funny because like the camera goes through everyone and they're like, oh no, but like I should be able to stay here because I've done this, 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 and this. And eventually they end up writing someone's name on a little thing, and then the host is like, the tribal council has voted. Your time has come to an end. Psh, and they put their torch flame out. Yeah, it's a great show. That's like, but that's what maintenance looks like. It's all about keeping us together, keeping... And mission. What is mission? Mission is outward focused. It's about pouring out, letting go. It's about reaching out. And I'd like to challenge us here this morning, right? When we came in the door, were we thinking about others? I mean, I'd guess that maybe 50% or maybe more of us came into church this morning thinking about ourselves, thinking about what we might get out of being here. We could be thinking, will this finish on time? I hope so, because I know everyone wants to kick my butt at tennis. Will the music be what I want it to be? Let me read this to you. This is from Philippians. Philippians 2, verses 3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility... value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And isn't that like, I'm convicted. In humility, treat others above yourself. See, that. There's a culture, and it's even crept into churches, where it can become about, what can I get out of the message today? It's about my best life. I'm only coming to church when such and such preaches. I hope they sing my favorite song. The singer was flat today. So we can easily fall into this mindset, and we create this this kind of sense of, oh, I don't really want to be here. I don't really want to sing a new song. It doesn't speak to me. It's not what I want. I don't want to sing a hymn. It's too old and daggy. It's not what I want to do. Church sucks. The message doesn't talk to me. The worship doesn't talk to me. Let me ask you this. When did church become about us and our individual experience? When did it become about what we want it to be? When did church become about being comfortable? Here's the truth. Church is not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about the kingdom of God. It's about mission. And we're here to meet with Jesus. And we're here to meet with the Almighty Living God who is eternal and everlasting. So, let's not fall into the trap of coming to church to make it all about me. Because, you know, really, if that is the case, you can actually just stay at home. You can listen to your favorite preachers. You can watch their YouTube channels. Put on your favorite worship song. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about me. It's all about me, me, Jesus. That's sometimes what we sing in our hearts. But Jesus is the head, and it's about what he wants to do. Amen? And it's kind of interesting. We think, sometimes we can think our opinion is like super important. And I mean, yeah, there's been a few things going around, but on the internet and stuff about some particular Christians, but sometimes we can think that we know better than God. And Isaiah 55:8, he says this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, if we think about it, if we're really honest, like how long do we get on this earth? I mean, if we're really lucky, we get maybe 80, 100, if we're really lucky, we get 100 years or something, right? And it's just fascinating because we can act like we know more than the everlasting, eternal, almighty God who's been there since the beginning of time. God is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and Omega. And just because I wouldn't do certain things that God does means that I must be right and God must be wrong, right? I mean, like, think about it. The Old Testament, there is so much in there that I would not do. Like, a classic example is, like, the story of Noah. I mean, who's learnt about that in children's church, right? It's like, oh, so nice, save all the animals, like a little giraffe poking its head out of the window. Oh, so cute. But let me ask you this. What about all the people that died? They drowned. It was dramatic. Like, God chose just to save Noah because he was righteous in his walk, Noah and his family. Would I have done that? No way. No way. But here's the thing. I would not have sent my son to die on a cross either. But God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And have we ever thought about, like, when I think about how high the heavens are, it says, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth. Think about, like, how far is the sun from the earth? We did a little bit of research. It's 150 million kilometers away. 150 kilometers away. Like, that is really far, and yet sometimes I can fall into the trap of thinking, yeah, I know better than you, God. God's ways are higher than our own ways. It's a bit like a compass. I mean, I'm sure we've all experienced at one time in our life being lost, and it's almost like we blame the earth for being out of whack. It's like, our compass isn't broken, it's the earth's fault. Well, maybe our compass is broken. this is really funny. So there's actually a YouTube channel called The Flat Earth. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay, never mind. But people actually believe the earth is still flat, and there's a whole channel dedicated to it. But here's the thing. Our internal compass can be moved by our culture, by our emotions. But we've got to be moved by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus. See, we can trick ourselves into thinking that our ways are better than God's ways, but we actually have to align ourselves with God because His ways are higher than ours. And it's really easy to make God fit in with our own worldview and opinion rather than, you know, studying the Word, meditating on the Word. The Word of God, this is like our compass, right? It gives us direction in life. And we need to pray. We need to be in the Word. And so, like, now we know that, you know, like, our opinions don't matter as much as we think. We can kind of get over ourselves a bit. I mean, I can get over myself. So what does living a life where we are not the center of the universe, but God is at the center? Like, what does that look like? Well, this is the reason I chose the story of Rebecca, because it looks like the life of a servant. I mean, Rebecca's story is incredible. So we heard the story. So Abraham's servant, Eliza, well, most likely, it wasn't, it's not, the scholars believe it was Eliza, but he was sent out to find a wife for Isaac. He prayed for a sign that if a woman gave him not only him, but also his 10 camels a drink, that she would be the one to marry Isaac. And the story goes on. Rebecca gives the servant a drink, and she doesn't just then say, "Are your camels thirsty? Would they like some water?" Do you notice that? She doesn't just ask the question, but she kind of just goes and gets them water. She says, "I will fetch water for your camels also." It wasn't like, "Oh, would you like me to fetch water for your camels?" No, she just kind of went and did it, which is amazing. So her example is great to us. She's a great example. And she's not thinking about herself in that moment. She was serving this servant of Abraham. She had the heart of a servant. And you know what? I really doubt that she even had any idea of the importance of this. Like, because when you think about it, her whole kind of destiny, if you like, was tied up in this man with the camels. And isn't it interesting? Because camels, do you know how much camels drink? Like, they drink a lot of water. And like, she had to go back and forth from the well. That's a lot of trips. But here's the thing, she went above and beyond, and she didn't know who Eliza was. He was a complete stranger to her. And it doesn't really go hand in hand. Camels, if we think about camels, they spit, they smell, they're kind of like not great to be around. And here's this young, beautiful Rebecca. And there's these 10 camels, and she's off to fetch water for them. So if you didn't know, camels drink 30 gallons of water. That's 30 gallons of water in less than 15 minutes when they are thirsty. So it's kind of like the equivalent of me saying, "Oh, Raina, my beautiful wife, you know, like, can you go and get 10 barrels of water?" Like, you know the barrels? That's like 10 barrels of water. That's how much water she had to get from the well. And she didn't have barrels to carry them. She had to go with like a bucket. I can't even fathom like how many times she would have had to go back and forth from the well. But she stepped out of her comfort zone. She would have got like pretty dirty. So here's the challenge for us. What do our lives look like in comparison? Like, I mean, when people walk into our church, how do we host them? Are we thinking about how we can bless them? Are we treating them as higher than ourselves? As Philippians teaches, do we go above and beyond to serve one another in our church? Or are we only thinking about ourselves and some kind of specific job we're doing? Or do we go above and beyond to look after strangers in our church? See, Rebecca stepped out. She showed hospitality to a complete stranger, right? And it's easy to show hospitality to people that we know. But when it's someone we don't know, it's kind of nerve-wracking, right? I mean, if you've ever had someone just randomly appear at your house, that happens to us sometimes. But like people we don't know, it's kind of like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" Like, it's nerve-wracking. But God calls us to step out of our comfort zone. And you know, we've got a little young adults Bible study. It's going to start up again soon, I promise. But oh my gosh, that's like out of my comfort zone. I have to learn how to cook. I'm not a cook. It's totally out of my comfort zone, but God kind of meets me there, right? Because when I step out of my comfort zone, it forces me to not trust in myself, but to actually trust in God. And I want to share this story. So last month, it was incredible. Like, God opened up a door. And I actually got the opportunity to go and share my testimony at Waze. So if you don't know, Waze is just a place just up the road, and they're like a secular youth training space where they, you know, if kids can't finish school, Waze takes them in and they help them kind of do TAFE certificates and kind of get jobs and things like that. So I had an opportunity there to go in and share my testimony, and I had no idea what was going to happen. These guys were all strangers to me. But I had to put my trust in God. And I was intimidated when I walked in there. Like, oh my gosh. Like, there were dudes with tats. Like, just, they were tough looking dudes. And I could see as soon as I walked in the room, they were sizing me up. Like, who is this punk? But I just trusted God. I surrendered it to God. And it was amazing. Because literally, for majority of the conversation, all we talked about was Jesus. And people were asking me about my faith. They were asking me about Jesus. And it was amazing. I was actually able to share the gospel. And this was in a secular space. This was not even in a church meeting, a secular space. But sometimes we're so good at trusting in our own strength and abilities. I think it's kind of human nature to play it safe with minimum risk. But I really believe that God calls us to step out of our comfort zone. And God always shows up when you step out. And sometimes all we need is just a need for God, because He shines in our weakness. And I'm in a real season at the moment of trusting in the power of the gospel, because there is so much power in what Jesus has done on the cross. And it's I believe that. He raised dead people, and that same power lives in us. He defeated death. He rose again. We have resurrection life living on the inside of us. That's crazy. And Jesus has an eternal impact, and He's able to transform lives. So my challenge to us here this morning is to step out of our comfort zones. I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe it's as simple as getting to know a new person in church who's actually a complete stranger to you right now. Maybe it means inviting people over for dinner and getting to know people more than just at a church activity. And it's amazing, right? When you think about Rebecca's story, because her one small act of service had an eternal impact. Because Jesus actually comes from the same blood lineage, right? But imagine if she didn't water the camels. Or she was like, you know, what's in this for me? What if she was just like, this is too hard. It's a big trip to make up and down the world. That's big trip. She could have been like, well, you're a man. You're probably got more muscles or whatever. You could probably do it quicker. You could help me do it. But no, she decided to serve. And we, you never know what eternal impact a simple act of service can have. So I'd like to finish with this. We all right? Doing all right? But Jesus, He is the greatest example of how to get over yourself. And I think the message puts it really beautiful. Philippians 2, 6 to 7 says, it says this: think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that he had to cling to the disadvantages of this, of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Mark 10:45 says, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And I love what Galatians 2:20 says. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ. I mean, this is all I've got for us this morning. I hope that's all right. But sometimes it's good to just get over ourselves and just fix our eyes on Jesus and, you know, just think, how can I be a blessing to someone instead of, you know, wherever you go? Like, don't think like, what can I get from this? But think about, how can I be a blessing here? How can I bless someone? It's a challenge for me too. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, we come to you right now. And Lord, we repent. We repent of times when we live for ourselves. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us to be diligent in reading your word. Lord, we're sorry for times when we think that we're greater than you. Jesus, be the King of our hearts. Help us to step out of our comfort zone. Help us to move from maintenance to mission. That we would truly be your hands and feet in this world. Jesus, we surrender to your ways and to your will. And we just ask that you would have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to sing one last song. We're going to sing Good Grace. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or you do know Jesus and you feel like you've been slipping away. I mean, I'd love to pray with you after the service. So just come and find me. I mean, if you need prayer for anything, we're here to pray. But yeah, let's stand and sing and just let this sink in.